episode of the All Arminda Show, and I could not be more excited to have the guest that I have today. You guys are going to absolutely love him. Is my dear friend Gary Mahler from Vancouver, Canada, which apparently doesn't get snow. It's like Seattle. Who knew? Okay, maybe everybody except for me. So I just am so in love with Gary and who he is, because I really, when I say who he is, that's really what I'm saying. Like, you get exactly what you get with Gary, and he's nothing but love. And it is my privilege and my honor to know him, to love him, to call him friend. And I am delighted that he is here on the show with us today. In his professional world and space, he's a coach. He's an executive, a leadership, personal and business coach. I love how he describes this. He talks about he'll work with anybody with a dream big enough and the passion ready to make it happen. And together you're going to create that. And that is Gary. He also is a surfer and has this amazing program that he does with a business partner called Into the Fire Leadership, which is it's like a coaching surfing retreat, but it is just for women. And it is that program that inspired me to invite Gary into conversation today. But please don't get your hopes up. We're not going to be talking about surfing. We are going to be talking about women. And you might think a little bit unusual that I'm bringing in a man to talk about women. But trust me, once we get this conversation going, it will be really apparent to you why I have been led so profoundly to invite him into this dialogue with me. So without further ado, hello, Gary.
Hello, Arminda. This is fantastic, and I am so stoked to be on your show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whoa, okay, so let's rock this.
Let's rock it.
Where do we even begin? Let's talk. Is there anything you want to say that I didn't say that would lay a foundation for what? Why do you think I'm asking you to talk about women? Let me ask you that.
Well, the thing is what comes to mind is, first of all, I love women. I love women. I love what they're about. And I think it comes from my mom, who's a very strong woman, strong-minded. And it's shaped my idea of what a relationship with a man and woman should be. And that's also probably based on my dad, too, who's a very, very loving, powerful man. But how he was with my mom shaped how I am with women. There's respect and dignity that I have been brought up to realize, and it's just carried through. So I think that's probably that we can add that. And the other thing I'll share that I wouldn't want anyone to know about me when I was young, I was shy around women, and I've since overcome that and come to really create a relationship with my wife that I'm just in love with.
You're in love with the relationship with her and, of course, with her. But yeah, the whole relationship, we're going to talk more about that because it really is. I really hear what you're saying as far as your upbringing and what the behavior that was modeled for you and how powerfully it has informed the way you currently show up as an adult and how that impacts not only the relationship with your wife, but also your two children for whom you are now modeling this behavior. And I would add to that your friends, your colleagues, your clients, many of whom are women. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is completely accurate. And my business partner, Karen Perry, down in LA, powerful, powerful, strong woman. We created a relationship via a year-long leadership program where we met and then created the surf retreat. There too, creating a powerful relationship with a powerful woman and then just seeing each other flourish. So all over the place, I've got really powerful relationships with women that really enrich and enliven my life in a way that my relationships with men do not.
So interesting. I want to come back to that. But before we come back to that, let's rewind, because you keep using a descriptor of women that I'm not sure all women can relate to.
Cool.
Powerful. What is a powerful woman to you? What does she look like?
A powerful woman knows her value, knows that her value isn't dependent on what a man thinks of her, tells her, and is able to realize her sovereignty. This is a word that I really love, sovereignty, like a sovereign, like a queen. I call my wife my queen. She has a sovereignty that with or without me, she knows she can make it. My mom had this way of being that she just knew that if she really took her ownership of the relationship, my dad would create things that he couldn't have created without her. So there's this knowingness. And I believe that all men and women have it, but this conversation, that the women who know their power and aren't afraid of being and showing themselves to the world, that's a powerful woman that actually changes the world, that the world needs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's so gorgeous. And yet, would you agree that there are so many women who don't show up powerfully?
I would totally agree.
So why is that, in your opinion, and what in your experience with women?
There's something about allowing their sovereignty to be held by another, whoever it is, a relationship, a man, a thought. And I think once they realize this, they can step into their power. But I think it's just could be a part of our upbringing, how society view things. And it's been changing. You know, it's been changing from the 70s, the 60s and 70s. Yeah. And I think there's more work to be done. So one of the things, you know, with the clients that are women, we reclaim their sovereignty. We check out the stories that may not be true, that in fact are not true, that are holding them back.
So can we go back for a second? Because I want to be sure that I understood what you said. I thought I heard you say that this idea of sovereignty, that many women think that it lies in someone else, that someone else holds that, that their value lies in someone else and it's outside of them. But what you're suggesting is that it's really inside of the woman herself.
That is it. From my experience and with the women that I know, once they realize this and they're not really swayed as if like a buoy on the ocean of whatever's happening externally, they can trust in themselves fully. This is when things start to happen in their lives.
Yeah. I want to say that I completely agree at like 1,000%. This has been my experience with my own sovereignty and value, as well as in the lives of women that I know. But I would love to hear some of your examples, if you're willing to share. What you said something about in the work that you've done with women, it's about looking at the stories they've held on to that are not true and letting go of those stories in order to access that power within. Can you give us a like something a little bit more tangible to look at there?
Well, to know your value in whatever you're doing. So let's say, and it doesn't matter what field, to just, let's say you're, as an Arminda, as a coach, you bring to what you're coaching and who you are, all of the things that you're brought up. But what I sense from the moment I met you, there is this knowing of who you are as a woman, which is different than me as a man. There is a way of being that you just connect to that is your Arminda-ness, and part of that is your identity as a woman. So I think when I work with women that might not see that value, I will question some of the beliefs that they have. And it could be as simple as, I need a man. Simple thing. I need a man to either take care of me, complete me, make me whole. And the moment that you realize you don't need this, but what you can bring to the relationship is this powerful beauty, feminine, goddess-like being, then it's all taken care of. And I mean, you want an example? When I met my wife, I had never met a woman that just knew what she was about. She just knew, I like my alone time. I like this. this is how I operate. When I crossed any line, she was so clear to tell me that doesn't really work for me. She was also very clear that we've been together. You got a choice to make. I want kids and I want to be married. You got some time. Think about it, but don't make it for me. Make it for you. I took 3 months to think about this. I went to Thailand, Chiang Mai, to meditate and detoxify. I went to Bali to surf, and I came up with the idea, I want to marry you, and it's not because I need you. It's because there's something that I see in you, in your sovereignty, that I love, and I love this chemistry we have together.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I'm I'm sitting here, all of a sudden I remembered, oh, I'm the host. I should ask you a question. I'm like, I'm so engaged in your story because I love the visual that you've just painted for us in reminding us that each of us has that power, that sovereignty, that value inherently within us. Yet we do let these stories get in the way of accessing that power. And I'm wondering, when we don't hold back, you referenced this a moment ago, or you alluded to this a moment ago, this idea that, wow, it's like this unstoppable force that's unleashed on the world when women as a collective, certainly as an individual, but as a collective, that we just shed those stories that have been handed down to us and truthfully that are perpetuated a lot by men. And I'd like to talk about that. Like, what does that look like when we acknowledge that there is a perpetuation of that story that women need men? Why is that, do you think?
I mean, history, it's how it's been. I mean, you know, evolution, we can say all of those things. How it's perpetuated, though, is two factors. As a man, I choose to be different with women. I see them differently because when I see them differently, I create relationships that create magic. Maybe 20 years ago, I didn't see it. To be honest, I was afraid of women, afraid of rejection, afraid of this caused me to be a certain way, either a jerk so I could get attraction by them or to just slink in and be a nice guy so that they'll like me. I've done everything. But the moment that I realized there's nothing to fear, but there's something beautiful, I'm coming at it as a man that there is something about my relationship with women and co-creating with women that has a different energy. And I just sit back and I just allow them to express themselves and then I'll chime in. So there's that difference. And then I think for women, it's almost like that song, we're not going to take it anymore. Just don't take it. You know, that crazy rock and roll anthem, we're not going to take it anymore. Don't take your stories so seriously. Don't take the situation so seriously. Come back, take some alone time. My wife has plenty of alone time. We have got 2 young kids and she takes her alone time. She's Japanese, so she takes the bath time, about an hour and a half. I take care of the kids. That is her alone time to connect with herself and just be still. Morning, she wakes up and then she's refreshed and she's ready. And then the other thing that I can say is we've got clear agreements. You know, I work and she takes care of certain things. And then I step in wherever possible to help her. We just help each other.
Yeah. I love what I'm hearing. And I want to pull a few things out of what I just heard you say. And this is, I want to kind of back up here and talk about men.
Yeah.
And thank you for being so personal and your willingness to share so much about your own relationship with your wife. What a sacred gift that you're sharing with us for that. And I also heard you say that in years past, there was a fear in you as a man, that there was some kind of power that women held. And I heard rejection, like this power of rejection that was held over you. Mm-hmm. And speaking as a woman, I've heard that talked about my whole life. Never believed it. Not ever, not once. Not ever, not once. For me personally. yet I hear you talk about that was a motivator for you or a demotivator for you, as the case may have been, in being in action when it came to relationships with women. So can you talk about that for just a moment for those of us, myself obviously included, in the past, that have a misunderstanding about, see, to me, that is the power that we have, not in a manipulative kind of way, but that we somehow abdicate that power in the misunderstanding that we have to have a man. But it's not really, that's not really the dynamic. It's almost like we're subjecting or victimizing ourselves into that misunderstanding. Maybe let's break that down a little bit.
Sure. What are you thinking? So just so I'm clear, so giving away some power, realizing that their life is perfectly fine with or without a man, realizing that traditionally, and it's breaking down with the way society is now with the internet, with apps and stuff, but still there is this thing that in past, the man pursues and the woman has a right to say yes or no. So as a man, and I can't speak for all men, I can just speak for myself, there is something about when you put yourself out there, there's a possibility that a woman can say no. And if we take that personally, it can be devastating. And when I was young, I used to take it that way until I just decided I didn't want to take it that way. And I just was very clear on who I am as a man. And then I just was that guy. Not interested? Fine. Next.
So I love this. I love this as a coach. I love this. I also love this. Like if we could like share this message with women and men everywhere, the message that I'm hearing, this is golden, is who cares? It's really only about you being in your own power, because when I'm, and let me speak only for myself, when I am in my power, I recognize my value. I am showing up in value. I am not lacking anything. Yes. Therefore, I don't need anyone to fill a need. There is no need to be filled by something or someone external outside of me. It's just me. And it's me extending, if I'm a man or a woman, extending an invitation to be part of this valuable person that I am. That's it. You can either say yes, you can say no, and either answer has nothing to do with me.
That's it. It's just there's a communion that is possible. And that's how I see it with all of my relationships, whether client relationships, relationships with women, relationships with my friends that are men. There's a communion that's possible. And when I am clear that I'm okay and I don't withhold anything from myself, a huge realization that I had when I met Steve Hardison and he coached me for 2 hours, was that when things do not go right in the external world, I am not kind to myself. It's not this thing about my mental chatter because I know better, but there was a feeling of gloom and doom that I had, and I was not nice to myself. I withheld love to myself. Since that coaching, I've done some really deep inner work, and I have made the decision to never withhold anything from myself.
What does that mean? Like, slow that down, because we're getting into just a little bit of woo-woo talk here. And I have a strict rule here on the program that if it leaks over into woo-woo, we got to stop everything and break it down.
Let's stop it.
What does that mean? I did some deep inner work and I don't withhold anything for myself. What does that mean?
So what it means is let's say for instance, I invest some money in the markets and then the next day the markets go down. Instead of beating myself up and feeling bad or doing anything, I don't withhold love from myself. If it used to be stuff would happen externally and then it would affect, like I'd say, I should have done better. I could have done better. I get down on myself. I don't do that. It's just a choice. I don't do any of that. I only allow a thought about myself that is my birthright as a human being. So, you know, let's get out of the woo-woo. It's a choice to not be mean to myself on any level. No woo-woo. That's just a choice.
That's it. Okay, so let's really dig into that. So I want to underscore that for everybody listening. When we are loving ourselves, it means that we're not being mean to ourselves. Because I think the default for so many people is to speak negatively to ourselves, that negative self-talk that goes on in our heads constantly. We're our own worst critics. We're the ones judging ourselves for things largely that have nothing to do with us. Is that your experience in the past?
It's my experience, and it's so insidious. It's not even self-talk, because it's something so deep. It's this feeling of gloom or ickiness, like an oil spill that is covering, birds that are on the surface. So you don't even know, and you just come and land in it and just like envelops you. So it's not even thinking. It's more insidious than that. And then I was so clear that I don't need to earn my love. Hardison said, there's something about you that you need people to earn your love. And then I took that one step deeper and I said, I need me to earn my love. I need to lose 5 pounds. I need to be more muscular, bring back the 6-pack before I got kind of a daddy bod or whatever it is. I don't need that. I'm perfect in this moment, and you're perfect in this moment, and that's how I treat everyone I meet, especially my wife and my kids.
I really, really want to just be with this message for a moment for everyone listening. I think that this is the crux of everything that we've talked about so far and everything that will follow. This is at its core. Unless and until I love me, I value me, will I be the sovereign of my world. And when I step into that value, I will bless everyone else around me, because I don't need them to be love. I already am. Is that
Boom.
It?
Boom. Boom. That's it.
And what I really love about this, Gary, is that we're not just talking to women. We're talking to men. We're talking to everyone. This message is universal, global in its scope. That loving ourselves is such a deeply powerful experience, and you're the only one who can do it.
Yep. So in my relationship, my wife loves herself. I love myself. We come together. We love our kids selflessly. It's not like we got a perfect life. We don't want that. It's tumultuous. It's crazy. It is fun. And we just live the way we want to live. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We just take a breather. But we just made this commitment to ourselves that it will not be done the normal way. We're going to make it the way that we want it. And we just ground in ourselves. We just choose. We don't like it. We choose something different. No woo-woo, no nothing. The other day, I'll tell you a personal story. I made the commitment this year to not work Mondays, to only work Tuesdays to Friday afternoon, and then weekends are Friday afternoon until Sunday. Monday is my day for connecting, and evenings are family time. The other day, I was busy on my day off, my Monday for myself, and I was doing some tax stuff, and then just before, after bath time, around 7, I said, I got a bit more work I want to prepare for my taxes. So then an hour becomes an hour and a half, and my wife gives me this look, like, it's time. And then I give her a look back, like, just deal with it, take care of it. And she looks at me, and I look at her. And I want to be clear, this is infringing on her alone time, but I got my head up my rear end and forget. So anyways, I finished, and the next morning she said, I don't like this. Like, you're a liar. tell everyone, tell your clients, this idea that you take your evening for your kids, that's bullshit. You tell them something and you're not doing it. Yesterday you didn't do it. What do I say? Old Gary, 20 years ago, Gary, totally pissed off. New Gary is like, you're right. Give some space. I had to work the next day. At some point, I say, I was a jerk. I'm sorry. I'll do better. Not I'll try. I will do better. So now that everyone who's listening will know what my wife told me and how I'm responding. This is sovereignty. This is her saying, we made an agreement. You told you are like this. You weren't like this. What are you going to do different? Not bitchy, not anything. So clear.
Yeah.
And I tell you, she's my bellwether. She keeps me so honest because she's got a BS detector on her. No woo-woo stuff. No woo-woo stuff with my wife. So simple. It's black and white. This is it. You say this, you do this. You don't do this, then okay, don't do this. That's how our relationship has evolved. And that's why I love her.
I really appreciate the truth-telling. Thank you for being so vulnerable with us. I really acknowledge you for your willingness to share that story. And I'm also aware while listening that there are probably many people listening who think, I could never do that. Women in particular who think, I could never say that to my husband or my partner. So can we kind of slow down a little bit and talk about maybe some actionable steps or tools that we can access in order to step into our own value?
Beautiful. Beautiful. There's a saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. Mm. This interaction, we've been together for a long time, over 5 years. This has been an evolution of who we are being and a willingness to listen and talk and create agreements with each other. So the first thing that I would say is acknowledge if it's not the way that you want it and don't even try to start changing the other person. You want to look and start inside and start changing some things within you. And it doesn't need to be big. But if you are always acquiescing, start acquiescing 4% less. Mm. Start, instead of, if there's an argument, sit back and don't respond. Give some space. My experience has been when I change my part of the relationship so that I'm not pushing and they're pushing, suddenly there's some space for change to happen. And it depending, you know, I don't know where everyone is on their scale of their relationships, but this is the first step. The second step is when there is some common ground. What we did was we started talking about the things that were not working for us. We did some work that I call assumptions work, where I assume when you say this, it means that. Mm. And she goes, actually, no, when I say this, it doesn't mean that. Your assumption is creating something within you that's causing us to have a problem. Okay, so when you do this, it doesn't mean that. Oh, I've got a freedom. I don't have to react. I can say, oh, that's all that it means. So after the assumptions work, then it really comes, and my wife is totally not coachy. She's not woo-woo. I can't tell her we're making agreements. Basically, we just tell each other what's going on inside of us in the relationship. And we just say, when you do this, it really doesn't make me happy. When you do that, it makes me very happy. So then all I do is listen, pick up the cues and say, yeah, at the end of the day, if there's a bunch of dishes and I say, let me take care of that. You take a bath and I'll take care of the kids. She's happier. No brainer. Of course, I'll do it. Suddenly the tiredness goes out the window because I love her. Mm. So this is as men specifically. If there is something that your wife really loves, pick up on this. Be selfless. And I tell you, she will be selfless with you. And if you have kids, dote and love on your kids, because that is the biggest turn on that a woman can have, is when you are a powerful, loving father.
I love all of this, Gary, and I want to shift gears, if I may.
Please.
Because this is really incredibly valuable for people listening who are in marriages, who are or in committed relationships. And then there are a whole bunch of people like me who are not. And I really want to look, in addition to this really fantastic information you've just shared with us about marriage relationships and agreements and the power that's available for you to co-create there, what does this look like in a professional realm?
Can you elaborate? So yeah. Within a business or within...
Yeah. So for example, and I guess also the question is, I hear what you're saying, and I see that all that has to start with me.
Yeah.
That I can't be in any kind of relationship with a man until and unless I have loved myself into that place of sovereignty and value. I get that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, because I heard you say at the beginning that you have much more meaningful and powerful relationships with women in your life than you do with men.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got one wife, and that's like pedestal, right? She's the queen. I get that. And yet you have these really, I mean, I look at us, like we have this remarkable, amazing friendship. I feel so connected and close to you. So much love that we share. How is that? Like, what are you doing with your female clients, associates? You have a female business partner. What does that look like in that co-creative space of a relationship dynamic?
I create room or space for them to be unapologetically who they are. I don't superimpose my ideas of who they are or who they should be or what they should look like or what they should do. And I sit back and I just take in who they are. I acknowledge what I see. And if you would, you know, if you would talk to Karen Perry, my business partner, when we met in this leadership program, she had been in a different part of the program and she came into the modules later. So our first interaction was on Facebook, and she interacted with me and I interacted with her in a way that she had not experienced, where we shared this love of Hawaii and shave ice, and I would rib her, she would rib her, and I didn't even know who she was. When we met in person, then I just had no preconceived notions of what we corresponded on Facebook. I just met her at face value and let her be her without needing to change, without pointing out her flaws or this or that. And our relationship, as we created on the fly in 6 weeks, a surf program initially that wasn't for women, where we just came together. We did stuff that other people didn't do. I flew down to LA and I spent a week with her and her family. We got to know each other so intimately as we created this thing and had, I think it was 20 surfers, the first one.
Hmm.
But I believe what she'll tell you is Gary just allows me to be me. And he loves me and I love her and I love you, Arminda, because of who you are. This allows like some open space to co-create in a different way. And again, I think it's not just, you know, who I am, it's what I've learned, and it's how I am with women.
Yeah. And why is that different from how you are with men?
With women, if you want to call it, they're, if you're like me, there is an instant connection or allowing a vulnerability to come out. With men, it's a little bit different. I connect personally with them quite quickly as well, but there is this facade of boys talk, sports, women, pickup, all this type of nonsense, which men use to... insulate and isolate themselves. With women, I don't have that experience. They're more on the up and up about what's what.
I have a question that's percolating around this. I'm curious to flip this around because what I'm hearing, again, lovely, gorgeous. I want everyone to have the privilege of meeting with you and being loved by you. That's not really going to happen. So how can we use this as women to step into our own power and sovereignty to guide men in how to interact with us in a way that is loving and honorable and respectful of who we are? If I'm not mistaken, this is the great, kind of like the great barrier. You know, when women show up, they feel like they have to somehow hide or be subjected to the more powerful man. But really, really, what I feel like based on this conversation alone is resonating so strongly for me is that women are way more powerful than men because they're immediately willing, if they allow that to come forward, to be vulnerable and love others. Men have that, you know, that exterior. So how do we coach or provide tools for the women listening to today's conversation, Gary, to step into that? To, you know, I always remind people that we teach people how to treat us. So what are your thoughts on that for any women who are listening?
Notice what you do and who you be. See how other people treat you and then alter your course. Simple. Choose different. If you notice that you acquiesce, 4% more each day, acquiesce less and choose different. If you notice that men treat you as an object, don't do the things. Go back. If you have a coach, talk about the things that you are doing for this that creates this. Don't be that person. And I'm not going to get woo-woo. I'm going to just tell you there's this thing and it's called choice and choose different. My wife was very clear. I have a choice and she had a choice. She could continue indefinitely in this fantastic thing. We lived in this beautiful small apartment in Tokyo. It was fun. We're doing stuff. She had a choice. I'm going to hit a certain age and I want to have kids. This is important. You choose. Notice who you are being. Notice the results you're getting and choose different. No woo-woo, just choose.
Which, of course, takes us right back to where we started. It's loving you first. Isn't
it? Love yourself first.
That's the choice.
Yep, that's it.
That is the choice.
If the men that you are dating or if you're in a situation with men that is not to your liking, see where you have created it. And see where you want to stop creating this. I mean, and I've got this distinction that I love. It's live it versus know it. And in this world of self-help books and videos, like we know all of this stuff. The key point is when you live it, then you know it at a cellular level.
Yeah.
And if you're having problems, we're coaches. We know the power of coaching. You know, we work with the best. We work with Chandler. We both work with Hardison. These are the best in the world. But all I know is a conversation with them, it's going to whack us outside the head so that we're not just going to know it in our mind. We're going to start living it.
Yeah, and I really want to, again, underscore what you're saying. I just want to reflect back to be sure everyone is hearing this because this is powerful, powerful coaching at its best right here from Gary Mahler, folks. So listen again, rinse, lather, repeat this conversation. It's about taking actionable steps to live your life the way you imagine is possible for you. It's choosing you. It's choosing to no longer be in whatever circumstance or situation, whatever portion of that you're responsible for having created, you co-created wherever you are right now, no judgment, just step out. 4%, and then 4% tomorrow. It's that conscious, active engagement in the living of your own life. That's loving you. That's choosing you. That is acknowledging and seeing the value that you are and stepping into the sovereignty of the queen that you are.
Bingo. Bingo. Bingo.
And I would say, if for anyone listening who is not in the relationship that they want to be in, or who is in a relationship that they feel, wow, I'd like to increase this by 4% a day to get it to a different place, write down what that looks like. Really identify. Don't keep it out there in the, oh, the dreamland space. Really bring it into your active conscious mind. Write down, what are the attributes and qualities about you that you want to increase by 4% at a time? And then that gets, you know, we reflect and project that out onto others. Gary, interrupt me here. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of going down this path now, but
I tell you, like, the thing that I create, I give to all of my clients, I give them two things, a future vision exercise where they take today's date and then a year from now, and they put down all the things that they're grateful and thankful for, finances, relationship. We put this stuff so they read this every day so that they are remembering what's important to them. Number two, what I read every day is my I am personal statement, which tells me and informs me and reminds me every day of who I am at my core. Those two things remind me what's important to me, and then I live it, because we forget. Those two things alone, if you put down in your journal in a year from now, this is who I am, you're going to de facto start living as if you're that person. When I read my I am statement, I am so clear of who I am as a man, as a father, as a coach. I am the best man, the best father, the best husband, the best coach. That is it. I've got 3 pages of the things that are important to me as a coach. As a man, in my spare time, surfing, meditation, having fun with my kids, so that when I get my head up my rear.
Because we know that happens.
It happens to me more than anyone. It happens all the time. I should have that, you know, head up my ass. I should have that trademark, because unless I forget, you know, unless I remember, and this is just an exercise to remember.
Yeah.
This is important. This is who I say I am. Now all I got to do is choose it.
Are those some exercises that you're willing to share with our listeners that I could put either a link back to you on the show notes for that? Is that something that you would be willing to share?
Sure. What I'll do is, I mean, I was given this thing, and I think it is self-explanatory, but generally what I do is I sit with someone and do it. Mm-hmm. So either way, I can give it. And I gauge my future clients in a way like this. If I give it and I don't hear back from them, I can realize that probably we're not compatible.
Of course.
You got to really want to do it. Yeah. So that's, but it's been very powerful that I basically do it with all of my clients, create an I am statement, mm-hmm. and then this future vision, so that in our work, which tends to be 6 months or probably a year or 13 months, where we have this map, this blueprint. My previous life, I was in engineering and machining, so I'm all about, I was a VP of operations. So if you want to know what I am your life's purpose operations manager. That's what I do. I just take what I did before and we put it all out, and I take care of the details, and you just start living, doing those things. Yeah.
Just something we can share with listeners so they can, you know, maybe visually see exactly what you're talking about with these I am statements and the future vision exercise. Because what occurs to me is the phrase that we've all heard, but it bears remembering again, that what we focus on grows.
Completely.
Which is why the daily repetition of the I am statement and the daily reading, or at a minimum, a weekly reading of that future vision is so critical, because then I'm focused on that. I'm not living into what I don't have. I don't have a relationship. Nobody wants me. I'm living into the creation of exactly who I want to be in order to be, available for anyone else in my life.
Completely. And I want to go away from the woo-woo. It's not a prayer. It's not a dream. It's not wishful or positive thinking. I'm so clear about this. It's like you say this is important to you, Gary or client or anyone. Is it really? Let's put the BS me. Is it really? Because if it is, you're going to do what it takes. If it's not, don't fool yourself. Don't feel bad. It's not time yet. Put it aside. But it's just a reminder. All I do as a coach is I ask you what's important, and I never, ever, ever let you forget of what you tell me is important to you. That's it. Bottom line.
Bottom line. And that is just as true for anyone listening. Yeah. Are you being truthful with you? Because that's really all that this is about. There isn't anything woo-woo here. It's simply, who are you? And or who do you want to be? Create that as your statement. I am this.
That's it.
Can I live into that every day? Is that an accurate statement of who I am being in this world?
Beautiful. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Because really, it's just about you being accountable to you. I recently was reminded that setting personal goals like this is really, 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 really important to write down only the things that you really, 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 really are committed to keeping. Because what happens at a subconscious level is that if you don't keep that agreement that you made with yourself, you are building self-distrust.
Yep. I could definitely see that 100%. Mm-hmm. 100%.
So don't write something that's so massive and huge and like, oh yeah, I want to be the czar of Russia if they ever bring that back again. Like, it's not about that. It's who am I being today? That's it.
Like, I'll break it down simply. I got three jobs. Mm-hmm. I got to take care of this guy in this body. Got to eat right foods, exercise enough so that I've got the energy. I choose to take care of this. Then I choose to love my family. And then I choose to create my life. And that is my practice. My coaching practice is my life. And that's it. That's all that I do. My practice is my life. There's no distinction. I serve from love. That's it. So I got three jobs. And I am the best man, father, husband, and coach. I got nothing else to do. Nothing. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to tell me I'm worthy. I just got to know those things and do them. And when I fall short, I stop, recalibrate, and off I go again.
Yeah. Simple.
Cool.
It's beautiful and gorgeous and simple. And I love that. I love that. We've gone through basically an hour here together.
Yeah.
And I think we could keep talking. But I don't know if anybody would keep listening. So any final thoughts that you have, you want to kind of tie this up in any way?
We talked about this in terms of women, and I want to just let the women know your value, create your sovereignty, and be around men who will appreciate everything you bring. The women that are in my life do this. And as a man, if you are not those things, I run. So if I'm a pretty solid guy, but if you don't have these things, then I run. You be who you need to be. You're going to attract the right men. And don't be afraid to say no to the ones that aren't. That's simple as that.
I got nothing to add to that, except amen.
Amen.
Hear, hear.
Here, Aminda, you just bring, raise the roof. You just bring everything and you crystallize the wisdom and knowledge in a way that is just beautiful. So thank you so much for inviting me and allowing me to just share the stuff that I'm passionate about in my life. And I'm not saying I got a perfect life. Far from it. I told you one example. But I mean, if I could go from sad and miserable and dead and making like $500,000 a year and give all that stuff up and choose to get married again and to have two kids, and I just turned 50 and my youngest one is 5 months, and to say I'm having the time of my life and I'll work until the day I die and I love it.
Yeah.
Dudes and dudettes, you can have this.
Yeah.
I'm nothing special. With that, that's no further, nothing else to say. Thank you so much, Arminda.
Gary, thank you. I want to publicly acknowledge you for the reinvention that it has been my privilege to witness in the time that I have known you, and your willingness to just simply be, and to meet others where they are is so exquisitely gorgeous, and it is truly an honor to be your friend, and I love you.
Love you, Arminda. Thank you so much.
I'll see you soon.
Sayonara.
So that's a wrap for the conversation with Gary Mahler. Everybody, like, hands up, round of applause. Was that not phenomenal? I adore Gary. And I feel like the conversation, at least for me, was incredibly insightful, clarifying, and provided some actionable tools that each of us can use. So I hope that you found that to be just as useful as I did. And I'll put into the show notes several of the references, things like the I Am statements, the future vision exercise. I'll put a link for Steve Hardison. He referenced him several times. Steve Chandler, he mentioned. These are two very world-renowned coaches with whom both Gary and I have worked. So I'll be sure to include all of that. Again, thank you for listening. This program wouldn't exist if it weren't for you. I appreciate you sharing this. If this was meaningful for you, pass it along. Tell other people in your world who need to hear this. Listen, the links are here. They're all available for you. As usual, you can find me most places under the name All Arminda. Easiest way to find me. So I'm lots of places, Twitter and LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Google Plus, just on email, coach@armindalindsay.com. If you want to reach out to me directly, you have an idea, you have a question, you have some feedback, whatever you want to send over to me, let me know how I can be of service and helpful to you. Again, I appreciate you listening. I look forward to connecting again. Can't wait to see who the next guest is going to be on the All Arminda Show. Thanks again.